Welcome back to Be More Super, the podcast, where we explore the world of entertainment with celebrity interviews from your favorite movies and TV shows. So grab your popcorn and let's get to know these stars better and what really makes them super. We are brought to you by PropStore.com, where you can find your very own piece of entertainment memorabilia from screen-used props to costumes. Now, here's your host, Brian Garner.
So on this week's episode of Be More Super, the podcast, we're continuing my love for this show, Superman and Lois, and this guest is just absolutely awesome. I can remember back in the day watching Congo, one of my favourite films growing up, and now is General Sam Lane in Superman and Lois. It's a wonderful Dylan Walsh. Dylan, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
And as I was just saying, how excited I am to have you on the show, because literally, you know, you have been in this industry for many, many decades. You really have. So to have your experience on the show to chat about your role and your experience in the industry is going to be fantastic. So before we get into the show, why acting? Why not a 9-to-5 job? Why choose a career that's probably one of the most competitive industries to get into?
I was a pretty shy kid, and we moved around a lot, lived all over the world. I remember I was 5 years old, I was living in India, and I hadn't really seen television or movies. We'd just been away. And a movie came, it was actually Chitty Chitty Bang Bang with Dick Van Dyke. It came to the Army, the Navy base that was nearby where we were in India. And my dad said, come on, we're going to a movie. And when I experienced sitting in a theater, what was going on up screen. Now listen, it's a silly movie to watch today, but as a kid, it was fantastic. And I knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be up there with them. But I was shy, it took a while. And then we lived in the suburbs in DC, and my mom got me into an acting class. And through the years, it just became, that was sort of my outlet. I'm kind of introverted, and acting was sort of a way to be present.
Mm. I mean, you often find a lot of shy, you know, people go into performing arts, go into the acting, because when you're on stage, you're someone else. So you can sort of escape that self of, you know, of being you and obviously being someone else on stage, which is awesome. I mean, when starting out in the industry, did you have a plan in place of what you wanted to achieve and the sort of projects you wanted to work on?
Well, I came to New York. I'd already done a certain amount of theater in college, which doesn't count, but also summer repertory, and I'd actually done a couple of plays in Washington, D.C. I felt like I was coming to New York totally set. I was going to slip right into the theater community, and it just didn't happen. I was waiting tables, auditioning. It wasn't happening, wasn't happening. But when I'd get an audition for film or television, I'd get along a little further and finally started working. You just follow your leads. You know, I came there. My heroes were Robert De Niro, Duvall, Meryl Streep, people like that. But when you're in New York trying to be an actor, that's all just a little removed, right? Just any kind of work. So like a JCPenney commercial was the first thing I did in New York. And you'll just take whatever you're happy to just be working, get out of the restaurant for a while. So I just kept following that lead. And as a result, haven't done much theater, but you know, I have a career.
And I was going to ask, you know, obviously, you know, going on this journey and becoming a performer, you know, who were your heroes? I mean, obviously, you mentioned the stars just then. I mean, is there any other films that, you know, while you was in New York, you absolutely was in love with, you know, with Robert De Niro? Is there any projects, any films that you just thought, I wish I could have been in that?
I'd see these people, and it was just, I thought it was magic. Before New York, I'd seen Raging Bull, and I just thought what De Niro did in that was just, and also the film. But again, you get to New York, and you're just scraping by and whatever you can get going. But I do remember fairly early on, Rain Man came out with Dustin Hoffman. And again, I was taking acting classes, I was auditioning, I was really trying to break in. And you sit in the theater, and you just let go, because it is like magic when an actor so inhabits a role and it's so different from what you're used to. It was really inspiring that what he was able to do physically and just able to do that role.
I mean, that guy's a chameleon. He could do anything that he wanted. Dustin Hoffman, from Rain Man to Hook, to the graduate. He's just amazing. I mean, what has been your biggest obstacles, you know, that you faced during this journey to where you are now? Because we all see these actors on screen and we don't understand that how much of a journey they've taken to get to that moment. I mean, how hard is the industry and what's the biggest obstacle you faced?
Well, there's particularly now, there's a sense that you have to stand out. And now you have social media, you have a lot of different platforms. And so younger people will make a point of making themselves, telegraphing themselves, getting it out there, right? Back in my day, just to sound like an old man, you didn't have that. You had to somehow be fascinating and interesting, and it becomes an obstacle because all you're trying to do is act. You just want to play a role, and you're hoping that role will get you some attention, and it does, but it went a lot slower back then. Nobody was interested, or they might be interested, but there's no platform to check out Dylan Walsh. And so in a way, it was kind of old fashioned and it was sort of elegant in that way. But like I did a movie with Paul Newman, and once upon a time, just playing his son would have been this big deal. And in the industry, it was. But, you know, it did well, but it wasn't a blockbuster hit. So it's how to stand out is the biggest, without seeming like just a complete idiot. And, you know, you just have to be patient. Been through ups and downs, and just to stay in it. I did a lot of films overseas that nobody saw, just to stay in the game.
I mean, would you say it was easier back then than it is now to succeed? Because with the amount of content now, the amount of shows, like, we're drowning in content, we really are. So how challenging is it now for actors to make it compared to, say, 20 years ago?
I think you're right. I think it is harder now, but it's also harder for people like me who've been around a long time, but it doesn't matter. You're competing with a million other guys who have been around a long time. I think that's true. I know when I started, I recently watched that Brooke Shields documentary, and it was really interesting because it pointed out that when Brooke Shields hit it big, right, this is back in like 80s, 90s, there weren't so many things, so many projects, so many things to see on TV or in the movie theater. So if you were a star, you were a superstar, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone tuned in to a less amount of stars. And so, and you see it in that documentary, what happened to her. That didn't happen to me, but riding my journey definitely as I've gotten into the last 10, even 20 years, it is hard. There's so much out there. And we're all sitting around, all the guys in their 50s who I've been competing against all these years, we're all sitting around trying to get that one role, you know?
You know, I've just got an image now of all those actors around 50 round a table like the Goodfellas, just drinking their coffees, having that conversation. But the way I see the industry now, it's a bit like the stock market, isn't it? It's sort of like these actors, you know, it's sort of, I don't know. I think the way that they promote stuff now, I just think is very unfair on the talent that's actually out there. I think that you've got to be in the right place at the right time. And if the industry likes you, you're going to go a long way. I mean, is that the case still? Or is it just on talent, you know, at the moment?
Now it's really a combination of things. It's how you handle your moment. Look at something like White Lotus. You know, you only get one season probably, right? That the actor does. So if you're on White Lotus, you get your publicist and you pay them a lot of money because this is your chance. And you really use it to get out there. Of course, that's always been the case, but now more than ever, you've got to ride that and create that wave and that momentum.
I mean, you've had so many great roles and so many great projects that you've worked on. I mean, how do you choose your roles? I mean, what does that role have to have for you to actually get excited about it?
Well, I still remember reading the script for Nip Tuck, the pilot. And I was going through a little dip in my career at that time. I'd done some things and I was still looking for that big, big moment. And when I read that script, first of all, the character, two things, it just jumped out at me. It had such range, right? He's one way, But then Ryan was smart to kind of give you some twists. And just when you think he's the good guy, Sean McNamara was not the good guy. He's the guy cleaning up after they've disposed of a body. So what I like when I see something like that is just the range. Does this guy have dimension? And of course, the other thing that I felt when I read that was no one should play this part but me. And I'm a humble person, I'm a humble actor, but every once in a while you read something and you think, nope, this should be me. This should be me and I'm gonna go get it.
And it's an awesome series. And I've got to say, you know, with that series, you see so many actors now that, you know, that starred in it. I mean, I was chatting to Katie Sackhoff the other night and she was in it as well. And it's like literally one of these shows that literally everyone's been in. It's like Texas Ranger show, Walker, Texas Ranger. Like everyone's been in it, which is awesome.
Well, so I think that was Ryan's greatest asset, is that he could sit with a famous actor and talk them into doing the show, because he would say, I'm going to write something for you that you're going to love. And he did. He gave people, I mean, even like Rosie O'Donnell, he wrote a really great part for her. If Joan Rivers was coming to the show, he wrote a great part for her. So they all came to the show. It wasn't money. It was actors who were getting a chance to sink their teeth into something. And that's, Ryan is amazing about that.
I mean, how was that journey for you working on that show? Because obviously the popularity of it was enormous, and you were going on shows like, I think it was Conan O'Brien, and literally you were doing the rounds. I mean, what was that experience like for you, getting, you know, that sort of level of fame where literally everyone around the world knew your face?
Well, it was exciting, and to be honest, I was old enough to know better. I mean, I'd been in the business a long time. I was in my 40s, but it put me back into being a kid all over again. You kind of lose your way a little bit. I mean, Julian McMahon and I would look at each other like, is this actually happening? I remember early on in the show, we were promoting it in Chicago, and we went to a baseball game at Wrigley Field. And after a while, we noticed that there was a chant happening sort of behind us. Some people had seen we were there, and we're sitting next to each other, so it's like the Nip Tuck boys. And they were chanting Nip Tuck, and it was so bizarre, and it was ridiculous. And yet we looked at each other like, wow, people are seeing this show. Ratings, the numbers, the metrics are hard to tell by, but when you go to a baseball game and they start chanting, they're watching the show.
That is awesome. And I wanted to just quickly, before we go on to Superman and Lois, just quickly talk about Congo, because this, I remember in 1995 when this came out, I absolutely loved it. I really did. And I can remember my dad, he bought his first ever surround sound system. And the first DVD that we bought because of the surround sound system was Congo. And I can remember the scene when you're in the mines and he lights the flare and the sound around the room. It was just amazing. I mean, what memories have you got working on that film? Because I rewatched it recently and it still holds up in my mind. I do really like that movie.
Well, it was meant to be a fun movie. I think that for me, my memories are Laura Linney and I standing around, and so much of the work you have to, I mean, this is true a lot of times for actors, but there weren't real gorillas on the other side. You know, when I'm acting, how afraid I am that a silverback is charging me, there's nothing there. And the Amy, the gorilla that I'm working with, is a person in a suit who has to stop every 30 seconds to get a hairdryer to breathe. It's all that stuff that I remember, because it was so hard to stay in the moment. But we had a lot of fun. We went to Costa Rica to get a lot of the jungle stuff for about a month, and that was fun. And it was a big, huge break for me, you know?
And it was great. And the cast in it was phenomenal as well. I mean, Tim Curry is just a phenomenal actor, and he's so captivating to watch in anything that he does. I mean, what was he like to work with? And have you got any funny stories?
He was a sweetheart, first of all. He would invite a few of us over to his house. At that point, it was in Los Feliz, and make us breakfast. And so he was a very sweet person, which was put us all at ease, because we all kind of idolized him. He'd had such an interesting, eclectic career up until then. And and it was so easy to be around. Very funny person who can make you laugh whenever he wants to. And some of the drudgery of the show, as I said, you know, we'd be sitting around for long periods of time in not very pleasant places, maybe in the rain in Costa Rica, or that mine, by the way, every day when you went home from work, you would blow your nose and all that sort of gold sand would come out. things like that. He just had a sense of humor, and he was the veteran for all of us. And he was just a great person to have aboard.
That's awesome. So let's talk about Superman and Lois, because we're in the third season now. I watched last night's episode. This show, I've got to say, when they announced it, I got so excited because I'm a massive Superman fan from the original with Christopher Reeve. That is where my love first came from the original movies. So when this got announced, I got so excited. I mean, why do you feel this show has been so well received and is loved by millions?
Well, first of all, it's Superman, so we can't take credit for that. But it's easy also to mess up Superman. I think that some of the choices made by the director of the pilot in the second episode set the tone visually for the show, but also he worked with all of us about what sort of style this was going to be. His name's Lee Krieger, great, great director. And he would always give you a few takes where he'd say, dial it down. Let it be real. Let it just, you don't have to act superhero type, you know, big reactions. Just let it be real for you. And it can be small. Don't be afraid of that. This is such a huge, a huge license to give to an actor, because you do come into it thinking, okay, explosions, Superman, the music and everything. And he tried to tone that down. He said, well, this is going to be more about family. This is going to be a Superman you haven't seen before. And we kind of all just followed that lead, and he persuaded us. I mean, that's the big thing. He made a great pilot, and we were on board. And I think the rest of the show, that essence still kind of lingers.
I mean, what was it about General Sam Lane that really attracted you to the role, that you thought, do you know what, I need this role?
Well, as I said earlier, I like to see the range, and this guy has range. This is a four-star general who is used to having people underneath him, who he orders around. And then he's got a daughter who who can dress him down in an instant. He socially is a very awkward person, and just like a fish out of water. And so it's the two ends of that spectrum that he can kind of live in, where he walks in and his fatigues and everyone has to kind of, you know, the C parts for him, his soldiers. And then Lois will enter the situation and she'll say a few things. And he's as I said, dressed down. I liked that aspect about it. There was what he was doing professionally, working with Superman, who he considers is really just one of his weapons that he can use in the military. Mm-hmm. And then there was this whole family side, the trying to make up ground with Lois, also with Lucy, which we got into in season two. And I just loved how that was, that this guy was sort of authoritarian figure who really was lost in every other way in his life.
Mm. I mean, this show, I've got to say, it was full of secrecy before it got announced, because I met Tyler in person, and this was just after Elseworlds, sort of like big finale, and he didn't give anything away, and it was rumoured that there was going to be a Superman and Lois show. I mean, what was the secrecy like while filming before it got announced? I mean, What was your NDA like? Was it packed? Was it like you wasn't allowed to say anything?
We were encouraged not to say anything, and they watched out for, I don't really do social media, but they were pretty hard on the rest of the cast about what they were allowed to post and all that sort of stuff. But you have to remember also, we weren't really out of the pandemic yet. It was still in place, and travel was very difficult. We had to do quarantines up in Vancouver. And so the secrecy was sort of easy. Everything we hadn't worked in a while, you know, we'd all been kind of out, and we were so happy to be back. And then there's the fact that shooting in Vancouver feels remote. You don't feel that you're in Hollywood or New York, and you can just sort of get on to your business. It took forever shooting these first few episodes because we kept having to stop or rearrange the schedule because somebody would have COVID. So that's when we started. And yeah, it was secretive. And then it got a little bit harder to kind of keep things in as we went on.
Because it was just awesome when it did get announced. But the writing on this show, I've got to say, is just phenomenal. It really, really is. And especially for your character and the family unit. I mean, did you have any input in the direction that Sam Lane goes in? I mean, during filming, did you get any opportunity to have that input of maybe the character would do this instead of that?
Well, it's interesting because I would certainly ask questions. There were some moments in the first season where I felt like I, instead of being so hard on, say, for instance, Jonathan, in a scene, I felt like, gosh, I'd love to fit in a sort of a nicer moment here. And Todd Helbing, the showrunner, would say, just be patient. I need you to be this so that later we can be that. So it was more like that. It's more just trusting the storytelling and the arc, which you don't ever know. You don't know while you're in it. You don't know the future. The writers are playing around. And so it was things like, it was just tone. It was, in the first season, sometimes you could even feel that Lane was almost a villain, you know, going behind Superman's back. And so it's more just trusting what they're doing. And you know, each season the writers will do a little Zoom call with you and tell you what you're going to do. And honestly, you end up doing about a quarter of that because they change it on the fly, you know, as it's going. But no, it's not my input. It's more just clarification, like where are we going here?
I mean, how far in advance do you actually know the story then? Is it episode by episode or is it a few episodes?
Really, episode by episode. Again, they'll sit you down and sort of talk you through the general thing. Like this season is Mannheim, we got to, and Pia. But in terms of what you're actually doing, it's a bit general because they do like to change things as they're going. Really, it's episode to episode. I'm never quite sure what's next until I get the next script, which is usually about 5-6 days before you start shooting it.
I mean, does that help you as an actor or hinder you as an actor? Because obviously knowing the longer sort of arc would, I suppose, make you act in a certain different way. I mean, have you had any challenges in acting in that way, not knowing?
I used to think it was a hindrance because I've done so much TV. And back in when I started, I felt like, how can we possibly have our interpretation if we're only getting this in pieces? The good part about it is it keeps you in the moment. You can't jump ahead. You can't plan or set up something. You just have to be in the moment. If that's and then essentially the example I was giving you, there was a scene where he was tough on Jonathan where I didn't think he needed to be so tough. But you need to commit to that moment. You don't need to jump ahead to where he's actually a little sweeter. If you don't do this one, it won't be as good when he softens. So things like that. And sometimes you do have to ask him questions, but I find that it does keep you in the moment. And also, of course, you're shooting it all out of order. You don't know how those scenes are going to go that set up maybe the end of the show that you're shooting first. And you just get used to that.
I mean, the one thing that I love about your character on the screen is that at the beginning of, you know, season one, you were very hard, this general. And now it's lovely to see how I don't know how your story arc is developing with the family, how you're connecting with your grandchildren on screen. And it's really nice to see. I mean, was that nice to go from this hard sort of general and actually go into family mode?
Yes, this is why I wanted to do the role. This is what I loved about it. And this is what we talked about when we first were got into Superman and were shooting up here. We had to set it up first. This first season, we had to show this guy. His whole life is the defense of the planet, basically, which is a huge responsibility. And we get the sense that he wasn't a great dad. He wasn't there. And that's all we really have. And a lot of conflict that first season. And then at the beginning of the second season with Lois, his daughter, who he just he has a lot of ground to make up. The key in all of this is that there's this guy, as I said, socially and with any sort of personal relationship, Lane is lost unless he's the general and you work for him. Otherwise, he's really just not sure. I don't know if it's aired yet. I don't think so. But I have a great scene with Emmanuel in a diner. And because we never had anything together in the show, they wrote it. Actually, Todd's brother wrote it. And it's this beautiful little scene where these two people who don't have the same kind of orbit, right, are sitting, and they're both similarly kind of lonely in that moment. Each is single, and it's not a pickup moment. It's a friendly moment. And I just loved, I was awkward, of course, as Lane would be with a beautiful woman as he's sitting next to her. But something else gets to come out as we're talking, you know, which is the idea that she's not just a beautiful woman. This is a person who actually they're in the same boat at the moment, and they can kind of relate to each other.
Just as long as she wasn't on the app that Jordan gives you in that season on your phone. I love that scene. I really did. I just really did. So this season, I've got to say, so this show is like literally a superhero show with real world issues. And this season, you know, Lois is tackling cancer, which I think everyone has had a connection with some way or form. So it's quite a difficult storyline to actually, you know, see on screen. It's one of those things that it's not nice, but I think that we need to see that on screen because I think it will help a lot of people address things and help a lot of people as well. I mean, for you as a father of Lois Lane on the screen, I mean, how challenging was it to play that character? Because it's quite a real subject to tackle.
Yeah, that first of all, I really applaud the writers for taking that risk. And it is a risk, you know, you're throwing cancer into Superman. But it does sort of hit right in the wheelhouse of our version of Superman. And what's tragic about it, which is tragic for anybody in the real world, no Superman can help you with cancer. So I think with Lane, I think he goes through things that you would imagine, some denial, and then he has to accept it. I think he's really thrown, and a lot of it gets internalized as we go forward. There are scenes where he's coming into the hospital and just trying to make sure everything's going well, and he's obsessed with them just doing the right thing, the doctors doing the right thing, to the point where he's sort of inappropriate. He's pointing out different things that they should be watching for, and that's where you see that Lane is really struggling with it. I really think it was a great choice, and I think Bitsy has done such a great job with it. It's really kind of heart-wrenching, and I've really liked it.
I mean, you know what? Even though I'm a man enough to admit, it has brought me to tears a couple of times, only because my daughter's called Lois as well, and so every time, you know, it just brings it home. It really, really does. And for me as a father, to think what would I feel like in that position, it's awful. And I applaud you for the performance because it's such moving scenes. It really, really is. And you're right, they are brave to tackle it because a lot of shows wouldn't because they would be concerned. But this isn't any ordinary superhero show. You know, the stories in this are just incredible. You mention your ex-wife in one of the scenes and then she left, but we don't really know where she's gone, anything about her. I mean, will we find out exactly anything about her? And potentially could she, I don't know, turn up one day?
Well, it's funny you ask, and here's a good example of that I know what you know. I asked. I thought we were heading there. I thought we were even going to bring that person in this season three, but they're holding off on it. There's a lot of interest out there about who is this mother, this wife. No, they don't know. They weren't ready to do that yet, and we'll see. It's funny because early on, some of the sketchy details about her, they've changed. We didn't even get to that. But when I was told who she was and what happened, and it's changed since then. So I think it's sitting right there, ripe to be explored.
you know what? I cannot wait. I bet you any money it's when Sam Lane finds love, and it will be the most inappropriate time she will come onto the scene. It's got to happen. And talking about the cast, you know, a Superman show wouldn't be the same without the supervillains. And obviously this season we've got Chad Coleman as Bruno Mannheim, and we've got Michael Cutlitz coming up as Lex Luthor. Have you shared any screen time with them? Have you been in their orbit, and what are they like to work with?
Well, I didn't have much to do with Chad, but I was around when he was around. He's one of these that he'll sit, and we'll all sit in these chairs while we're waiting. And I didn't have much on screen with him, but he's a great guy to listen to. He's got stories. He's funny, very relaxed. And Michael and I actually worked together on Nip Tuck. He did a guest spot. And because he's done TV series, he knows that sometimes when somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, remember we worked together?" You don't, because it's so, I mean, you pointed out there were so many guest spots and great actors coming on Nip Tuck. So he came, when I first saw him, he arrived in Vancouver and I was welcomed in. He said, "Hey, you don't remember me, but I was in Nip Tuck." I said, yeah, I remember you. And by the way, everyone is saying how great he is as Lex Luthor.
Do you know, I cannot wait, because he's again, like yourself, he's a phenomenal actor, and I just cannot wait to see the pictures when they came out. I just thought, brilliant. Do you know what I mean? They couldn't find a better actor. Really is perfect for the role. So fingers crossed, I'll get him on the show at some point for an interview. So he did respond on social media to just say patience. With a smiley, winky face. So hopefully I'll get him on. So without your NDA exploding, what can we expect from the rest of the season in a nutshell? I mean, what have we got to look forward to?
These villains have to be dealt with, you know, and also cancer. It all kind of comes together. Of course it does. I'm trying to think, well, I will throw this out there, the senior swipe app. There is a date that happens that Sam goes on a date with someone, and I don't want to ruin it, but I will say it just leads to bad things. it's to really bad things. But again, it's perfect because it's his personal side, which is he doesn't have the same instincts and he doesn't see it coming. The general is outwitted there. So it's a great conclusion to this season.
And again, real world problems, because nothing good comes from dating apps. So I look forward to seeing that. So the fans are eagerly awaiting the announcement for season 4. Do we know anything? Has it been announced? Because obviously when James Gunn took over the DC world, you know, everything was up in the air. And I've got to say, Superman and Lois needs to continue. I mean, any news from your side of things?
Well, you're right. James Gunn said just a few things about it that sounded positive. I think right now what's complicating any sort of announcement is the strike that's about to happen with the writers, which is going to put them on a kind of a, we don't know, but I'm assuming there's going to be a strike, and we don't know how long that is, and that complicates any sort of announcement. You know, I'm with you. I think the show never did anything wrong. It's done well. We've made a great show, and it should go longer. It really should. And whether it ends up on the CW in the States or somewhere else, I would think there's a place for it.
And it's awesome. And I don't know if I've ever seen you ever at conventions. I mean, do you do conventions? Do you meet the fans, or is that something that doesn't really interest you because you just like the acting?
I just like the acting. I would have done them. It ended up being really just that core of Superman, which is that family. And it really wasn't enough interest for me to go off and do that. You know, I did the rounds when I did Nip Tuck, and it was fun, and it was great. But as you get older, you recognize that, okay, this is for Bitsy, this is for Tyler, and especially the boys. And, you know, they have fun with it. I don't know how much fun I would have with it. But, you know,
that's just getting...
Yeah.
Yeah, because the thing is, at the end of the day, this is your job, and it's like, you know, we've all got jobs. Yours is obviously a lot more glamorous and more exciting than my job. You know, at the end of the day, you want to clock off and relax at home. Why not? There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
But no, but Dylan, you've been a great guest. It's been absolutely joyous chatting to you. And I can't wait for the rest of the season to find out about what happens with this dating app. I am excited. But look after yourself, keep safe, and stay super, my friend.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for listening to Be More Super, the podcast. This podcast has been brought to you by PropStore.com. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe and leave a rating and review. To stay up to date with Be More Super and get all the behind-the-scenes content, you can follow us on Instagram at Be More Super, the podcast, and on Twitter at Be More Super. Keep safe and stay super.